Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, Alex here with Ahmed. This was not supposed to be an emergency podcast. I just haven't been in here in a while. We haven't chatted baseball. We haven't taken questions from people, which we always like doing. But there was a point today where I thought this was going to be an emergency what just happened podcast to discuss what just happened against the Marlins. A lot happened. But ultimately, the Giants pulled it out, and I guess that's all that matters. It was a brutal week, a brutal seven games with the Marlins, but they took two of three. They took the final two here. They lost their closer. I personally think it was embarrassing for a couple days. I know they were dragged a little bit nationally by some people, and some people in the organization noticed that and did not agree with the way they handled everything last night. But Ahmed, I'm going to get your thoughts first. How did you think the Giants handled everything against the Marlins?
Yeah, it got weird, and I think I think we're both kind of similar on this, similar ways of thinking about it. I'm over the beanball tit for tat kind of thing. I don't know. You know, it's different if you've played, I'm sure, if you're in that environment. But for me as a fan and wanting to be entertained. You're right.
Aurelia, who works with us, was all over Twitter last night. And I think there's something to that because Rich is a hitter and he doesn't get to take it into his own hands. I think it is something. Brian Murphy of McCovey Chronicles, I think it was Brian, wrote something really good today basically about pitchers are standing up there on a raised mound with a baseball and they can do whatever they want and they're the ones who get upset.
Yeah. No, that's true. They're the only ones that can affect. Although you can't, I have seen some players go out there and run out there with a bat. Yeah,
or throw your glove as Harper did.
Or helmet, glove. But yeah, I'm over it. You know, like I like the emotion. I wish there's more emotion. I don't want there to be a penalty for being excited. You know, I don't want there to be a penalty for showing emotion after you get a hit or a big run, big home run. For me, honestly, and this is gonna sound weird. I don't like the beanballs. I'd much rather have you taunt the other team. I think that's kind of entertaining. I think that's harmless, fun kind of in a way, too. So, Alex, in a weird way, I'm anti-beanballs, pro-taunting.
I had many thoughts on this. I put a lot of them on Twitter, and I'm kind of over-arguing with people because it was a dramatic couple days. But a couple of thoughts I had today as I was walking in. One, Mark Melancon's quotes about respecting the game, and a lot of guys felt that way and said, you have to respect the game, and I'm kind of like, Lewis Brinson's competing with you. I don't know why Lewis Brinson has to respect Hunter Strickland and the game or the Giants. I mean, this is a competition, and you know what? The Giants have had guys over the past who are demonstrative, and Sergio Romo comes to mind as somebody who celebrated whether it was the end of the World Series or the seventh inning, and I love that. And I think like you, I saw that emotion, and I think people understood. I mean, this is an emotional guy, and they let Sergio Olis do whatever he wanted. And Lewis Brinson is a 24-year-old who apparently is pretty emotional, and it's a rookie. His first big league hit, or not first big league hit, but probably biggest big league hit.
Yeah.
And celebrated it. And the other thought I had for the fans, and I heard from a lot of them who were very upset, I think it's very strange because I assume a lot of them root for the Warriors, who show more emotion than anybody, and it's awesome. And what Steph Curry does, the way he steps on people's throats.
Draymond Green.
I think he's made a superstar. And the other guy, Draymond, you know, people were saying Brinson was disrespectful to the Giants and might have said some things. Draymond does that every night. And then at the end of the night, he shakes hands with the guy, and they move on, and they come back after that.
Well, so, remember when Chris Paul did the Curry shimmy shake after he made a big three in a game
Curry
the Rockets
left.
Won? And Curry said, yeah. And they go, were you upset by that? Were you offended by that? You go, no, he had every right to do it. He made a big play in a big spot, and you go ahead and do that, and I'll do the same thing to him when I get him back. So I think, I love that mentality. I don't know why it's such a mark on your honor to like too, right? Like I don't get why that would be something that you would find disrespectful to you that a guy beat you and celebrated it. how am I disrespected by that? I'd be more disrespected by the fact that you beat me, right? That was the disrespectful act. He hit a home run off of me. That might make me feel worse than what he did to celebrate after it.
Yeah, I just think,
Phone's blowing
up. It's not trade deadline. Remember the offseason?
Although we're already getting the questions, though.
We thought it was a... We'll get to the questions in a bit. I don't want to spend the whole time on Strickland and all this, but I just, you know, to me, we've talked about this a lot in growing the game and our issues with what they do in terms of limiting, you know, what you can post on the internet and what you can post on YouTube and Twitter. And to me, this kind of goes hand in hand with it because you are not taking advantage of a fan base in sports in general that wants to see fun and wants to see interesting things and guys having fun and guys being fired up and maybe guys going at each other.
Yeah.
And I just think this is this old school way. I mean, baseball just needs to get rid of this. It just needs to move past this and start embracing things that are going to appeal to, you know, 23-year-old fans, not 58-year-old fans.
Or any fan. Like, really, like, I don't buy it that a 58-year-old fan
would say back in my day, this is how we handled it.
I don't buy that a 58-year-old fan wouldn't enjoy the game more if it just was okay to have fun and celebrate and show emotion every time you make a big play. So, I mean,
I loved it. Romo, yeah. Michael Morse, the homers he hit where he would celebrate it. It was
stick
fun.
His tongue out.
He did. Yeah, it was a good time. You know, the series, they won it. I think it was weird. The bullpen issues were weird.
Yeah.
This has been a pretty good bullpen for the most part. There might just be a Marlins issue that they have. Now they have the Padres coming in. They've also had a Padres issue the last couple of years.
So it
doesn't get any better. But we will get into all that, and we will get into everybody's questions. I always like taking those, and I know you have some as well. First, I want to read this ad from our sponsor. Right now, ride into Wendy's and try the Southwest Avocado Chicken Sandwich or Southwest Avocado Chicken Salad. The Southwest is coming to you, and it's only at Wendy's for a limited time at participating Wendy's. Mm. Now, word from our second sponsor, and then we'll be right back with some Q&A.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Okay. All right. As we always like doing here, I think you and I are on Twitter all game long.
Yeah.
And sometimes don't get to all the questions. I like getting to the big picture stuff here on the podcast. I'll let you go first. What do we got from
Twitter
followers?
The first one comes from Z11, and we're getting away from the whole beaning thing, but it's going to still be with Strickland because I find this kind of interesting.
I have 50 Strickland questions.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see if this is different.
He goes, and I think this was to both of us as well. For me, the big question for you guys, is Hunter Strickland gone? How can a San Francisco Giant teammate not be livid with the situation he left them in? And how can other teams take him seriously as a closer considering his anger issues? So I've seen a lot of this, and it's interesting. I was at the ballpark on Tuesday, and I'm walking around, and there's a ballpark employee there, the usher that works at AT&T Park, and he stops me, and he says, I just want to tell you something. And he goes, I feel bad for Hunter Strickland because I don't know the players, but I interact with them. I see them. They walk by me. Some of them say hi. Some of them don't acknowledge me at all. He goes, you can tell the guys who are nice and who aren't. He goes, I find Hunter Strickland to be very nice to everyone he comes in contact with.
I've never had a bad interaction with
him. I haven't either. And so it's why it's so strange to me the two types of people he is and the things that he's done because, like you say, you've interacted with him way more than I have. He seems like a super nice guy off the field.
He really – look, not everybody's like this. There are guys – in there who will walk past you and not even make eye contact if they're 3 inches away from you. Strickland's one of those guys who stops and chats, who says hi all the time, who was always there for the media, has never turned me down, has never turned a question down. I asked him this spring, I asked him a few questions about Harper, and he went back and he went back to it. I think.
What do his teammates think of him? Is he well-liked?
You know, I think he's gotten there. I think there have been guys who have had issues with him, and I'm sure there are guys who still do, but they respect the work ethic, and they respect what he has done to make himself a better baseball player, and he has been pretty good the last few years and was pretty good this year, aside from a little issue the other night, and I think that'll play into this. I also go to the second part of that question first, where they say, how do other teams view it? And that, to me, is the big deal here, because if you do feel like you've reached the end of the line with a player, you're not going to sell him for 20 cents on the dollar. And I think other teams are probably wary of Strickland because of what they've seen. I think they probably felt that way after the Harper incident. And this one doesn't help. And so I think he is still most valuable to the Giants. He is still somebody who's making, I think, $1.6 million or something like that. And whether he comes back as the closer or not, he is still somebody who makes sense for them more than he makes sense for other teams. And I do believe that when he returns, they'll put their arms around him and throw him back out there probably in the seventh or eighth inning and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, he has been good. I looked at his numbers. I mean, he's had an ERA over 3 one time in his career, and it was 3.10. And y'all remember what happened to him in 2014, but you've made the point he had 7 regular season innings ever before then, yeah, in 2014.
He was not supposed to be on the postseason.
No experience whatsoever. He got thrust into a big spot. So, yeah, he's a good reliever and a good guy, except for a few just strange, strange moments for him.
I have a lot of Strickland questions, but some of them are different, and we can get to them quickly. Marisol asks, does it affect his contract for next year? Well, no, he's arbitration eligible, so the Giants did not fine him. There's no, you know, you could do things, but that's not what they do. We saw it last year with Bumgarner. They could have done something then, but they're just going to move on from this. And he should be, again, pretty cheap next year for a contributing reliever. So I think that will not be a factor. Frank Leonard, why is Bochy so loyal to Strickland as the closer? Well, I don't know that he was. I mean,
first time he's had an extended look in that role.
Yeah, and really the first time he's had a huge blow-up, I think, was on Monday night. And before they had a chance to discuss it much, he had fractured his hand. So
okay. Everyone who doesn't like Strickland or never will like Strickland has tuned off by now. You know,
what else do we got?
So here, I got one from Steve Svensson. He says, if this team continues to hover around the 500 mark for another month, I'm concerned they're going to do something to further cripple their next few years. For example, trading Ramos, Shaw, etc. for a rental starting pitcher and blowing past the luxury tax. Am I worried for nothing over here?
I think so. I can't imagine you go the entire offseason worried about the tax. Every move you make up until Watson, up until Jackson, the way you structure their contracts is based on dipping under the tax line, and then you blow past it for a team that frankly has not shown that they're one piece away. So, you know, maybe Cueto and Samardzija come back and these guys feel like there's somebody out there, and maybe from a prospect standpoint, maybe they go and dig a little bit deeper there. I still don't really see that. I just think there's not much wiggle room under the tax, and it's hard for me to see them doing much of anything. I think they're going to rely on guys who are coming back.
It's going to be hard for me to see them selling because, I mean, they're hanging around right in
the division. Sucks.
The division's not very good right now, and maybe that'll change in 4 weeks from now, but it seems like they're going to be kind of there and be able to convince themselves if they make one run, and that's what, you know, they weren't fooling themselves coming into this year thinking they were a dominant team that was going to run away with the division. They knew what they had. They knew that they were going to make one last attempt at a run and try to turn it around, and the window might be closing, so, yeah, go for it right now. And so I think, you know, I don't see them adding big. I don't see them subtracting big. I see them just going with what they got this season and seeing what they can do.
I like this one. This goes back to Strickland a little bit, but not really. This is from WCS 15 UK. Have you guys ever punched a door?
I've punched a wall before. I have punched a wall.
I think I've punched a wall, but not very hard. I don't think it would surprise people based on my demeanor on the podcast and on TV and on Twitter. I don't get angry very often. I get salty, but that doesn't really lead you to punch things.
There was no drywall construction or reconstruction necessary after. I got one right here. Richard Warren. Austin Slater still has a 981 OPS at AAA. What does it take for him to see an extended look?
So I felt today, after 200 Pence at bats and with the Giants sitting on another shutout, that this was going to be the day where the front office maybe had to sit down and have a serious conversation, because his OPS at that point was down to 433, I think, or something like that. He did get two hits and did contribute to this win. They were both kind of bloopy.
Yeah.
So, and Slater, you talk about what he's doing. I mean, it's pretty clear if you're trying to put together a 25-man roster that Austin Slater is on it. But the front office is not ready to make that move with Pence, or not ready to make that move with Austin Jackson. I think they're closer than they've ever been. talked to some people in Los Angeles about this, and they felt like if this homestand went poorly, that things were going to happen. But, again, you have the Marlins come in, you have the Padres coming in. They've taken two or three, unless they have a really bad weekend and just get completely shut down offensively. I think it's going to be status quo from here on out, which frankly sucks for Austin Slater, because you tell these kids to go down to AAA and hit your way up, and he's tried to do that.
Yeah.
And deserves to be on this roster, but they haven't found a spot for him.
And it's not like Sacramento's one of those PCL parks that inflates numbers.
It's pretty fair.
You know? So it's like he's earning everything he's getting at AAA. Yeah, against AAA pitching, AAA competition, but yeah, that's got to be frustrating for him and seeing some of the struggles that some of the outfielders have had, and he's still down there. You're laughing at a question over there, Alex.
I can't read this one.
Oh, I got one here. It was talking about the World Cup. Now that Timmy's gone, this is from Christine Rogers. Now that Timmy is gone, who is watching the World Cup in the Giants clubhouse?
Pablo Sandoval.
Oh.
Huge soccer guy. Very active in Los Angeles when they had some day games there. And he had it on, and he was yelling at people and having fun. And I'm going to take this opportunity. I've said this, I think, on Twitter maybe, and discussing people. I have never been more wrong than I was about Pablo Sandoval. Mm. And not just as a player, but he has come back and he plays hard every day. He has energy every day. He's loud in the clubhouse every day, which is something they're missing for about a year. So kudos to him. He has resurrected his career and is playing good baseball.
He is, and did you see the FanGraphs article about him taking the first pitch like 95% of the time or something crazy like that? Where in his career, he's swung at the first pitch like 40-something percent of the time up until this year. So
he has reinvented himself in every way.
Yeah, I think pitchers are going to start catching on to that, perhaps, and so maybe there's an adjustment that's going to have to come now that it's out there and written on FanGraphs. Blew up
Pablo
spot.
Pablo Sandoval, potential Willie Mack Award winner.
Oh,
how about that?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Who would have ever thought the way it ended?
It ended
for
poorly.
Pablo.
This is hashtag fantasy baseball from Bergevin L. Okay. Melanson is closer, but that's not really a fantasy question because a lot of other people ask that. Here's the issue with Mark Melanson right now. He cannot really go. Well, he can't go back to back to back. He can't go 3 days in a row, which I think we just saw from Dyson and we've seen from Strickland quite a bit. I don't know about him going back-to-back. He didn't do that on the rehab assignment. He hasn't been doing that here.
Hasn't done it yet.
He says he can do it, but the Giants clearly don't believe that he can. And if you can't pitch back-to-back games, then you can't be a closer.
Yeah.
It's pretty cut and dry.
Right.
So that's the decision right now.
On a bad team, you could be, right, if you only have a save opportunity twice a week. Yeah, for sure. On a bad team, you could be. Here's one from Oct40. Bums never getting traded, right? ?
Should we freak people out? No, look, there's going to be a lot of Bumgarner rumors this summer just because national reporters, and I like these guys. They're all, you've worked with a lot of these guys, they're great, but they love to throw stuff at the wall and they
absolutely
love to go, man, Madison Bumgarner would look great with the Yankees and what a perfect fit.
Well,
because
they've
team.
Talked to the Yankees and the Yankees, we've made phone calls. We're interested. Absolutely. We're going to have some dialogue here. And so then you get a whole story from
it. He would go straight to the top of the rotation for any team in the postseason.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. The Giants are not going to be out of contention enough where they have to think about something like that.
And they're going to still want to compete next year.
Yeah. And they do want to re-sign him at some point. I think that's going to be complicated, and it's going to be interesting to see given what pitchers get these days and given how some of the contracts that were given out over the offseason have flamed out, ultimately what Bumgarner does get and if he decides he wants to go to the market or wants to sign before then. But nothing's going to happen before the offseason, and then they're going to have to sit down with him, I think, and say, look, you're going into the last year. What do we want to do?
Yeah, I thought there were times last year where I thought, you know what, I could see a situation where it would happen. You lose 98 games and then say they started out this year and they're already 15, 20 games below 500. I mean, at that point, you're forced into thinking like, okay,
we have
no choice. We have to start entertaining some of these because at that point a contending team could take Bumgarner for two postseasons and you could get a ton for him. But that's not what's happened. You know, they're right around 500 right now, and you add the fact of another injury, and you know it complicates the matters even more. Bum's velocity is not what it used to be right now, so you know not that he's not going to be that guy, but it adds a little more uncertainty and risk to any deal you're going to make with any other team.
Yeah, it's everybody can relax for a little bit. Don't worry when you see the MLB trade rumors flash come across. I got one more, and then I'll turn this over to you for one last one.
Okay.
From Mark Erickson, what is it about the Giants versus the Marlins matchup? Why did the Giants fare so poorly against a team ready to tank this year? Psychological, four games in Miami, pitching matchups. I have my theories. First, I'm going to go back to the fight for a second. That was one thing that really bothered me, is it's like you're fighting with the Marlins.
Yeah.
Like it was, somebody once told me on Twitter, don't punch down, and this was like really punching down. But I think in terms of the matchup, they remind me a little bit of the Phillies last year in that it's a bunch of young guys and they play hard. And I think I have a lot of issues with Don Mattingly, but he's getting that team to play hard and I think play the right way for the most part. They made some mistakes defensively, but they go out there and they play nine innings, which the Phillies did last year, and that's why they gave the Giants issues. I think the Padres do that for the most part, which is a credit to them. And it turns these games into a little bit of a dogfight late in the game. And if you have a team that's had bullpen issues, what the Giants have had for several years, it'll turn some of these games the other way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I got one more. You brought up Don Mattingly. This one comes.
We'll end with Don Mattingly.
Don Mattingly. This one comes from a Twitter account, My Inner A-Hole. So that's probably not a pleasant Twitter account to follow. But we will answer your question. Does Bochy want to fight Donnie? Do you think that if you know, he had the choice to get in a cage with Don Mattingly and to have full fight, would he do it?
He did last night. Well, we're taping this on Wednesday, so yeah. He did on Tuesday night. He's been around for a long time, guys have been back and forth with the Dodgers.
He was asked about Mattingly, though, after the final game against the Marlins, and said, you know, he said he's got him playing hard. I didn't expect him to kind of say anything nice about him or the Marlins, but he did. He goes, you know what, he's got those guys playing hard over there, so maybe.
Those guys have both been around forever, and I think probably are friendly, because I just think it's probably the way most of these guys are. I mean, they have time around the cage before games, at the winter meetings, they have, you know, a luncheon, they have meetings where they all get together. I think there probably are not too many manager rivalries.
Yeah.
I will say one more thing on that. I agreed with Derek Holland a little bit today that for them to come back the way they did, and look, we've crushed the Giants enough on this podcast for the way they handled it, but for the Marlins, I thought to throw a Posey who had nothing to do with it,
yeah,
and then also to throw up and in on him, that's not the, if you do believe in the unwritten rules, which I don't really, but a lot of players still do, there's a very clear way of doing it, which is what Jeff Samardzija did last year. Which is you go and you hit a guy in the hip.
Yeah.
And that's what Rodriguez did, which I think is why Bochy was so happy with him, because he did what you're taught, which is you go and you find a guy and you hit him in the hip, you hit him in the butt, and you move on and you don't hurt him. And I think the Giants were upset that it was that close to Posey's head and that close to his hands. So that is something that I hope, whether it's Straley or I hope Mattingly talked to the other pitchers there and said, you will have to do this again at some point.
Yeah.
That's not where you throw it.
Yeah. Keep it down. But just stop the beanballs and start taunting. I'm willing to give you taunting.
We're pro-taunting.
I think taunting is actually kind of fun if you keep it on the field. No, you know, you can't, sticks and stones will break my bones. But baseballs can really hurt you badly, so don't do that.
I'm pro-taunting in every sport. We just don't have it in baseball.
Absolutely.
But cheer for it. We cheered for it for a month right now with the NBA. But all right. It's been a long time coming for this. I've been on the road a lot, so...
Welcome back.
Thank you. I can go grocery shopping. Right? No, for real, like, that's the worst part about being on the road is you buy stuff and it spoils 4 days later. Or you go on the road 4 days later and it spoils and you come back and you have regrets.
It's Wendy's 4 days in a row, which is not bad, which is what you can
handle. A lot of Wendy's. real quickly, if you have not subscribed, please do. That helps us tremendously. And
listen to the Joey Bart interview as well if you haven't already.
That was posted on Tuesday. So two podcasts this week, me and Ahmed here. Joey Bart, go back and listen to that one. He is going to be up pretty soon, I think, if the Giants are right about him. So we'll see. He's a big kid. He looks like he can hit.
Interesting.
We'll find out. Thanks, everybody.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.